From the studios of Wavefront Audiovisual Engineering in Schenectady, New York, this is Little Brother, the show where we talk about high technology, low intelligence, crime, greed, corruption, and all of the wonderful things that happen when you mix them together. Like any responsible little brother, we tell on Big Brother. My name is Chuck Ritter, and I'll be your host as we explore this world of the high tech. This is episode 161 of Little Brother for the 30th of March, 2025. Stay tuned. Little Brother is right around the corner. As always, I'd like to remind everyone that the opinions and views expressed in this program are strictly those of the participants and not necessarily those of anyone else who may, for whatever reason, attempt to claim them. Responsible parties with an opposing viewpoint may request an opportunity for a rebuttal. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can write me at critter@littlebrotherpodcast.com, or you can post a message on the blog at littlebrotherpodcast.com. So, let's get started. We should all be aware of the hazards of social media. By focusing the content that we want to see, and by extension focusing who sees our content, it gives the false impression that we are in an enclosed, safe space, which in turn encourages us to share, to the point of oversharing. This shouldn't really come as any kind of a shock or surprise to you as someone who listens to this podcast. Shouldn't really come as a surprise either that this is by design, because the data that these sites collect about you has monetary value. All that said, TechDirt is reporting on a tool that also should not surprise. It is a surveillance power tool used by Immigration and Customs Enforcement, and maybe others, which keeps tabs on more than 200 websites. Keep that in mind the next time you post on social media. The government is probably watching. Of course, the government aren't the only ones doing that. I've discussed data brokers here a number of times. Well, French data broker Publicis Groupe have recently published a video, mostly in English, in which their CEO Arthur Sadoun brags about the level of information that his company is able to gather about 91% of the world population who use the internet. In the video, which I will link in the program notes, he goes into absolutely nauseating detail about what they can find out. Lena Cohen, a technologist with the Electronic Frontier Foundation, has expressed concerns about the industry's opacity, saying, quote, "You don't know what information a data broker has on you, who they're selling it to, and what the people who buy your data are doing with it. It's a real power knowledge asymmetry," end quote. .404 Media are reporting that facial recognition company Clearview AI attempted to purchase arrest records, which would include mugshots, names, social security numbers, and contact information for arrestees across the nation in various jurisdictions. As a memory jogger, this is the company that has been trawling social media for pictures of faces to catalog, and which has been banned in France and Australia for violating privacy laws. I've been talking about them as far back as episode 60. And those are the headlines. You're listening to Little Brother. Well, we just learned that the government does not listen to my podcast. If they did, they would have heard me say this. What I said in the chat was, even if the platform is secure, and understand me, Signal is about as good as it gets. Even if the platform is secure, it only takes one mole to scotch any plans you may have. When you are holding your organizing meetings, you need to keep them to the smallest number of people possible and make sure that you can trust all of them with whatever information you share. Right. So unless you've been living under a rock, you're no doubt aware of where I'm going with this. I'm not going to try to recap the whole sordid drama part of it. There's plenty of other news media that have already done that. I will just mention, for those who might have missed it, and I don't know how, that an incident took place in which National Security Advisor Mike Waltz pulled together a group of people on Signal Private Messenger to discuss a bombing mission in Yemen. 18 of the 19 people in the group were government officials, including Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth, Director of National Intelligence Tulsi Gabbard, and Vice President J.D. Vance, all of whom are people who should have known better. The 19th person present in the chat was Jeff Goldberg, the editor-in-chief of The Atlantic. There is a hypothesis about how he got fat-fingered into there, and I'll mention at the end of this segment. So, I'm going to turn this into four lessons about OPSEC. The first lesson is that Signal, while it is exceptionally good, is not intelligence community quality. There are a couple of reasons for this. The application itself is secure to any reasonable measure. When you send a message, the message is encrypted in a way that can only be decrypted by the intended recipients and their devices. The message cannot be read by anyone in between. Send it to one person, that one person can read it on that one person's devices. Send it to a group, anyone in that group can read it, but nobody outside can. It's actually really, really good. So the first problem, the first crack in the armor, so to speak, is the environment that it runs in. When you run Signal, you run it on a consumer-grade device. You might be running it on Android or iOS, and maybe you've got linked devices that could be running macOS or Linux or Windows. These devices are in possession of the encryption keys. Can they keep those keys secure? Do you know? Are you sure? Let's just say that they can. Can screenshots be taken of the display by a rogue app? What about your input devices? Remember, with both iPhone and Android phones, the input device is software. Does it, helpfully include inputs to some sort of AI? Do you know? Are you sure? Again, it's probably good enough for you and me. It's probably good enough for planning protests, discussing exploits, sharing cat memes, but if you're going to be putting actual war plans on it, that's something that should only be done on a proper high-side system. The other reason it's problematic is the record-keeping. Signal has a feature that automatically purges messages. This is ideal for anyone wanting to be able to act without leaving a paper trail. Government officials, however, when operating in an official capacity, are not permitted to leave no paper trail. The records can be classified top secret, but they will exist. Right. So let's move on to the second point. During all of the above, a memo came to light. The memo was designated F9T53 OPSEC Special Bulletin, unclassified but for official use only. The memo warned that because Signal was in use by common targets of surveillance, that it has become a valuable target. It went on to warn that Russian hacking groups were exploiting the linked devices functionality that I made reference to a minute ago. The groups figured out how to embed malicious QR codes in phishing pages or emails that would then allow them to add their own devices as linked devices to your Signal account, while they appear to be an invitation to a chat group. It's worth noting that this is half phishing attack, half technological bug. If you don't scan the QR code and don't look at the phishing email or click the links in it, you're probably okay. That said, I will also mention that the Signal Foundation have patched it. So, as long as you patch your systems, everything should be good. It's been a while since I've used that, huh? Okay. So the third thing is really just a recap of what I said a month ago. Let's rewind the tape, shall we? If you want to discuss strategy or tactics, you need to keep the conversation among people that you trust directly. Right. This is probably the biggest place where the administration screwed up. It's really, really simple. If you are going to be discussing something sensitive, you make sure it can only be heard or read by people who should be able to hear or read it. Right. Lesson 4. Don't be arrogant. Now, why do I put this one in here? Well, it's really simple. Because a journalist was included in the chat, and because the administration testified under oath that the content of the chat was unclassified, we all got to see the entire text of it. It contained one sentence from SecDef Pete Hegseth. That is a difficult phrase to say. He said, quote, "I will do all we can to enforce 100% OPSEC," end quote. I'll give you a moment with that one. Because he fucked that one up before he hit send. Right. I promised an explanation for how the editor of The Atlantic might have been inadvertently fat-fingered into the group. Absent from the group, to my understanding, was anyone representing the U.S. Fleet Forces Command. That was recently enough known as the U.S. Atlantic Fleet that it is entirely possible that Mike Waltz was searching on the word Atlantic when he was looking for the fleet contact, and he found Goldberg's contact by mistake. Y'all be careful out there. Don't be like the administration. Alexa, how many pounds of blueberry cheese Danish can I eat without getting diabetes? I have to do that every once in a while to keep you all on your toes. Usually, I also make call-outs to Google and Apple products, but Amazon is in the news right now, so I figured I would just do them this time. And that brings me to the news item this fortnight. Ars Technica is reporting that effective 2 days ago, if you have an Amazon Echo device, that everything you say to your device will get sent to Amazon's cloud. Why? Well, AI, of course. An email about this was probably sent to you, and it probably went to your spam filter. You see, you used to have the option to have your device process speech locally. However, AI is a power hog. It requires expensive, powerful hardware and a lot of electricity. And that leads us to the email. It reads in part, quote, "As we continue to expand Alexa's capabilities with generative AI features that rely on the processing power of Amazon's secure cloud, we have decided to no longer support this feature," end quote. What feature? Local processing. So, if you still have one of these stupid things in your home, I recommend reconsidering that. Unless you trust Amazon with everything that happens in your home. In other news, I've been advising against the use of genetic testing services for at least a year and a half. In episodes 136, 140, and 153, I talked about a data breach at 23andMe, which would have been reason enough to be concerned, but now the company is up for sale. They are in bankruptcy, and we don't rightly know what the new owners might do. With that in mind, California Attorney General Rob Bonta is recommending that users of the service delete their data. I'm not certain whether or not this works in states outside of California. I don't have a 23andMe account to delete. But what harm is there in checking? I'm including a link in the program notes to the deletion instructions, and I urge you to act on them. As usual, we'll end the show with the fail of the fortnight. Heathrow Airport in London, England is the fifth busiest airport in the world and the busiest in Europe. It handles over 470,000 flights carrying over 83 million passengers every year. On Friday, the 21st of March, it shut down for a day. Well, it seems as though that morning there was a fire in London. But not at the airport, no. The fire was at the North Hyde electrical substation, which led to a substantial power failure. The immediate neighborhood of the substation was evacuated, and in addition to the airport, 67,000 households were out of power. Power failures happen, and that's just a fact of life. Substation fires are dramatic, and thankfully they're kind of rare, but they're not actually extraordinary. So, I'm not actually chalking that up as a failure. It's bad, but it's not an oversight on the part of National Grid. No, the thing I'm concerned about in this case is that this shut down the airport. What I'm concerned about here is that the Heathrow Airport, easily the most important airport in Europe, lacks sufficient backup power to maintain operations in the event of a power cut, and now everybody in the world knows how to paralyze it. But let's talk about how big the cascading effect is. Flights that were to take off from Heathrow didn't. Flights that were meant to go to Heathrow didn't. Flights that were en route had to either turn back if they weren't too far in, or they had to divert to Gatwick, Shannon, or Charles de Gaulle. So, if you were traveling to the UK, maybe you were lucky enough to have a widely accepted passport and can get through customs if you found yourself in Ireland or France instead. I'm sure that some people were not so lucky. Then there are missed connections. Then there's equipment that isn't where it is needed, since planes didn't travel to places that they were otherwise expected to be, and so on. As I understand it, they are estimating a week to get everything sorted back out. And the cost is still being measured. Last I heard, various airlines are threatening legal action against the airport. It seems to me like the airport should have been equipped with diesel generators. Part of me wants to ask why it wasn't, but I already know the answer. The risk was not considered worth the cost to mitigate. It is, after all, a business. I think the more important question is whether or not the decision makers still feel that way. Little Brother is produced, recorded, edited, and hosted by yours truly, Chuck Ritter. Special thanks to Fungaboo and the Helix Foundation for web hosting support. Shout out to the Albany 2600 Group. Special thanks to Joe Cadillac, Mickey Metz, Telegram Sam, and Azrael for story leads. Our headline music is Adrenochrome by Super Action 80. Our Fail of the Fortnite music is Space Reggae by Zap. Our OPSEC tip music is Capricorn Mix by Leander. Our opening theme music and bumper is Around Chaos by Heatseeker, and our closing theme is Space Debris by Captain Image. If you have questions or comments about this podcast or want to join the conversation, please drop me an email at critter@littlebrotherpodcast.com or post a message on the blog at littlebrotherpodcast.com. Join us next time when Little Brother tells on Big Brother once again. Episode 162 will drop on the 13th of April. Stay safe and be well.
Thing!